Amen. All right, let's go to John tonight to continue to edify, build, and grow together. Amen. Talk about Brother Fred just taking that wonderful prayer that about Genesis 3:15, and we talk about the head and the heel. The head, the power, the control that gives authority over the lesser one. Amen. And when you look at that and you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even in chapter 19, when you look at Paul and all that's going on here in relationship to them not having an understanding about the law as well as who Jesus is. I tell you one thing, brethren, God's will be done, amen. But we just got to continue to understand what is the will of the Lord, Ephesians 5:17, to know, 1 John 5:13, that we may constantly make that transformation in our life. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So let's go ahead and begin in John chapter 19. And began reading about verse 16, when they delivered Jesus therefore unto them to crucify. And he took Jesus and led him away, and he bared his cross. That word cross means responsibility. Responsibility of Luke 19:10, amen. In relationship, why did he come? To seek and save that which is lost. And go all the way back, and a lot of people don't understand that fulfillment of the scriptures in Galatians 4:4. That is, through the seed of a woman, Jesus will come back to bear his cross, the responsibility that he has for us. And go to Romans chapter 6, and you look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, when he talks about for the wages, the price that had to be paid of sin. See, that's the sin not only Adam and Eve commit, but the sin we commit every day is death. See, a price had to be paid in order for him to be our Passover. But the gift of God, and it's a gift, amen, is eternal life. And by eternal life, it's right, John 10:10. And I believe that life now and life after death, amen. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, because of Jesus Christ, we have that life, that eternal life, as well as abundant life. So he says here again, then delivered to him, therefore to them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and the two others, with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. In verse 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He did in a mockery way, but he told the truth. Because Jesus was from Nazareth, and he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, amen. And he being a Jew, remember we talked about Genesis 12, Genesis 17, and Genesis 49, the preservation through Joseph, whereby the scepter would not depart in relationship to that promise of Genesis 3:15, that in through Abraham, that in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And this title then read, men of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. See, I am. See, he wasn't just the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Like, for example, we read in John, he talked about, I am the bread of life. I am the life. I am the water. You drink of it, you'll never thirst. That I am signify. Number one, that he is and the only one that can be the King of the Jews. See, another point that we need to look at, when we think about that, is that when you look at denominationalism, I like to bring it home of Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written aforetime. See, when you look at Jesus and you look at the price that he had to pay, and you look at him being King of Kings, because in Matthew 16:18-19, the word church and kingdom is used interchangeable, whereby Christ is the king over his kingdom, which is the church. Ephesians 1:22-23 and Colossians 1:18. But he just wasn't the king, but I am the king. Now, who can you say can say that other than Jesus? See, same thing. See, I am the bread of life. I am the water. You drink of, you will not thirst. I am signified that I am the fulfillment of the 17 books of prophecy in relationship to coming to seek and saving that which was lost, that a ecclesia could be established. You know the sad thing about it? People do not understand and give Jesus the right prompts and the right glory and the right honor to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We give more honor to earthly kings, earthly queens, earthly kings than Jesus being the King of Kings. See, not only the King of Kings, but I am the King of Kings in relationship to purpose. Why did he come? Seek and save that which is lost, and will, that is, in fulfillment of Scripture. Here we go again. You look at the 5, the 12, the 5, the 17. That leads up to Jesus coming. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tells the story of Jesus. See, it's nothing but a fulfillment of prophecy. Or as some people say, the Old Testament is nothing but a story being told based on a promise that was promised in order for God's will to be done. And guess what? It did come true. And we reap the benefits of it by being heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Hebrews right quick. I want to read a scripture with you. Hebrews. I want to share something with you. Let's go to Hebrews. I want to share some scriptures with you to reemphasize what I'm saying here. In the book of Hebrews, I want to reemphasize some things that I'm saying here. In Hebrews chapter 9, okay? And I'm beginning to read in verse 1. The whole book of Hebrews is so good. The book of Galatians is so good that we're studying on Sunday morning, okay? In fulfillment of Jesus, why he can say, I am the King of the Jews. Because Hebrews 9:1 is that then verily the first covenant, and by the way, first covenant is right 39. See, you know what the 39 is, right? 5:12, 5:17. Don't just write it there, but know what it is to understand, and to understand what Genesis 3:15. Then verily the first covenant had also on this the divine service and a worldly sanctuary. All right? For there was a tabernacle, and we're going to see that Sunday, Exodus 20, made. The first weapon was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which called the sanctuary. And after the second, which is called the holders of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that bubbled and the tables of the covenant. That's the reason, you know, as we've been studying, you saw Genesis, right? You saw the beginning, right? Then you saw Exodus, right? You saw departure, right? And then what you saw Levite, am I right? The repeating of the law. Deuteronomy, the repeating of it again, amen. In relationship to Joshua, the promise of the blessing, amen. But see, all this had to do in relationship to what he's saying back here. So a lot of times people call the name of Jesus, but they don't know who Jesus is. See, a lot of people say, well, I am Jesus. Well, I'm not just the King of the Jews, but I am the King of the Jews. See, all this had to happen in relationship to understanding. See the difference between the first covenant and the second covenant. Amen. See, and I don't want to get into it right now, but all these objects here that he talk about, look what he says here. The candlestick, the showbread, see, the second veil, the holy law, the golden censers, the ark of the covenant. See, all this here has a relationship to why we worship God in spirit and in truth even today. Amen. Because it was a veil, and only Jesus had that power to pull that veil up that we may be see. It's like people in the world, they in bondage, they are blind. Amen. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Am I right? See, but see, I'm reading this here. If you read Hebrews, all the book of Hebrews, I'm just skipping around. See, you'll see what I'm saying as to why. See, the importance of understanding that concept. See, Pilate didn't know what he was saying. He was making mockery of Jesus. But he didn't understand. It's the same way today. You know, when people who can't rightly divide God's word because they don't study to show themselves approved unto God or don't understand God's purpose of Ephesians 5:17 to know to make that transformation, see, they're not giving nothing but lip service. See, like Brother Frazier said to me downstairs a few minutes ago, he says, I hope and pray that they can be spiritual. Well, you can't be spiritual if you don't let the word of Christ dwell in you. See, the Bible said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what he said? See, something got to be there in order for faith to work. Because faith without works is what? So how in the world are you going to understand who Jesus is to be? I am the King of the Jews if you understand the origin of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the same thing in the book of Galatians. That's why he called them foolish in chapter 3. See? And the reason why, because they didn't understand. See, they didn't understand. They knew of him, and like people today, they know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And the reason why they don't know Jesus is because they don't have the ingredients of what faith is. Faith is the substance. See, substance is the 66 books. Amen. If you don't have the 66 books and understand the 66 books and can rightly divide the 66 books, brethren, you ain't got no substance. And you ain't got the right faith of Ephesians 4:4 and 4:5, we talk about one faith, one Lord, one baptism. If you don't have that one faith, you're not going to endeavor. Because you can't endeavor. Because ain't nothing there that calls you to endeavor. Because you don't have no faith, and faith without works is what? It's impossible to please God without what? Faith. And that's the reason why we're seeing the scenario that's happening here with them. See, because they just didn't know. Same way today. We commit religious suicide. And guess what? The devil know it. The devil know it. See, since last Sunday, see, if you have not picked up no spirituality, you've been too busy, you hadn't studied the word of God, you ain't putting nothing in, well, the only question is, well, what you going to get out? You understand what I'm saying? See, and that's the whole story. See, everybody want to go to heaven, but we're going to do what it takes to get there. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death. John 8:31 says it's a continuation process, right? And that's something that we do 24/7. And that's the reason why. Now, you would think, Brother Frazier, that they would have known. As devout to the law that they claim to be. Amen? It's the same way today. You say you love the Lord. You say that you're a Christian. Well, number one, you ought to know. Amen. Here's another question you can ask people. Y'all use instrumental music? Yep. We have a good time. Well, give me book, chapter, and verse. As to why you do it. Well, number one, if they can't ask the basic question, how many books in the Bible? The next question, how they going to answer that? Well, the same way. See, people may ask you, well, y'all go to the Church of Christ? Yes, we do. Y'all don't use instrumental music? Well, that's right. Well, give me book, chapter, and verse. Well, I got to call John. Hold on. It shouldn't be that way. Because that's that growing process we all develop, see, in order to have the understanding to know what is the Lord, the will of the Lord is, to know who Jesus is. And that's the reason why I'm emphasizing so much about that. Because, see, it's like Terry said Sunday morning, you can see a big difference over the last 30 years with the church. The way it was in 1960, the way it was in 1970, even when I came in 1980, that is, look at the spiritual mentality of Christians today. We're just too busy to know about the church, to know about the 66 books, and because of that, the devil know you don't know, and because the devil know you don't know, what he do, he work on our weaknesses. See? Now, on the other side, churches got to appease. See, what I mean by that, churches got to give you something that can't be proven in the book in order to pacify and satisfy you to keep you coming. Amen? You see, that's the reason why, see, we see Acts 20 and 28, when I depart, grievous wolves will enter and not spare in the flock, speaking that word perverse. See? See, things that can't be proven, but it's still being done, see, simply because we let that replace truth. See? But I'm telling you, brother, when you get that mindset to understand Philippians 2:5, to have the mind of Christ, to understand what is God's will, brother, what we doing here, man, with those books, if you're doing it right, if you're really doing it, I ain't cheating. If you just bringing a book and just putting sheets in, but you're not reading, you ain't doing it but hurting yourself. But I'm talking about doing it every day. See, you do it for twofold. Number one, you do it to help yourself. Second reason why you do it because we are our brother's keeper. Amen? And we need to be edifying one another, building one another up as we all grow together. See, so that people can see Jesus in us. So let's go back to John right quick. So in John, verse 22, Pilate answered, "What I've written, I've written." Like he's saying, well, I said who you are, and I don't care what you said to my response. Like people say, well, what you must do to be saved? And then they say, well, all you got to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart. You say, no. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And they look back at you and say, well, I said what I said. And what you said don't even matter. Remember people like that? See? You ask me a question, what must I do to be saved? I told you all you got to do is ask Jesus to come into what? Your heart. No. That ain't what the Bible said. Well, they're not interested in what the Bible said. He wasn't interested in what Jesus said. See, and the reason why he wasn't interested in what Jesus said, because, see, when you don't know truth, and when you don't love truth, truth don't mean nothing to you. See, when you understand what is the will of the Lord, brother, you go hungry and thirst after righteousness. I don't have to devise ways for you to study your Bible. You're going to study your Bible because you want truth. You're going to hunger. You're going to thirst. See, a person who got the right mindset and got truth, see, we don't have to beg to come to church. You're going to be here because you want it. See, like Peter said, you must desire that sincere milk of the word. See? In spite of what everybody else is doing. And that should make sense. And the reason why it should make sense, every man going to be on burden, amen. We're going to die one day, Hebrews 9:27, ain't that right? John 12:48 said we're going to be judged by the word, am I right? Right. See, and when we appear from a book going to be open, another book going to be open, which is the book of life, and we're going to be judged according to our works, is that right? So if that's true, and I know it's true because that's in the book, brother, in spite of what other people say, you ought to be able to defend truth. Well, see, he couldn't defend truth because he didn't know truth. And it made no difference what Jesus said when Jesus said, I am the King of the Jews. And it made no difference because he already had his mind made up. as to who he said Jesus was. Same thing in the world today. You read what I'm saying? That sometimes we get all bent out of shape with our relatives, co-workers, because they won't listen to us. Well, number one, how you going to listen and how you going to understand when you don't know what truth is? Amen? You remember my grandpa? What did he say? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And the reason why they're not going to accept truth, number one, they saw not right. Or they had played with sin so long, either they're a reprobate or he'll send them a strong delusion to make them believe a lie. It don't make no difference what you say. They're not going to listen anyway. You understand what I'm saying? The seed just can't penetrate Luke 8:11 because that soil is bad. And that's the danger of rejection. Rejecting Jesus. Rejecting the word. See, he right here listening to what other people say. Crucify him. Crucify him. Doing what everybody else wants. I'm concerned about what he wants. And the reason why, he just didn't have an understanding. And that's the reason why he makes that remark. Look what he said here. What I've written, I have written. It don't make no difference what you say. And you're going to run across people like that every day. See, and the best thing, when you don't done the best that you can do, just shake the dust and move on. Because you can't do nothing else. Some people is just not going to accept truth. Either they are too indoctrinated with error, or they have gone too far with error, to the point that either they have a reprobate mind, or either they receive the strong delusion to believe a lie. See? And I pray to God that none of us get in that state. But let me tell you something. We all can, even if you are a Christian. If we fail to do the thing that we have to do in order to continue to grow, to build, see, to be steadfast, to safeguard, to protect what we have. See. And that's the reason why you got scriptures in there. I said, come ye out from among them. Be separate, said the Lord. And see, and that's the reason why I'm very careful. Because see, truth can be watered down. See, and we don't want that to happen. You with me? So verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments, made four parts, to every soldier part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. And they said, therefore, among themselves. Now look what he said. Look how the Holy Spirit talked. He said, they said, therefore, among themselves. Now who you think themselves is? Themselves is those who rejected Jesus. See, ain't it kind of funny that the world stick up among one another? That wrong, if you're wrong, the wrong gonna stick up with one another? See? Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now, this is a fulfillment of Scripture. Amen. See, fulfillment of Scripture in relationship to the 17. Okay, here we go again. See, if you don't know the 512, 517, well, how are you going to know this has some significance? Because, see, all this had to become the reality in order for God's will to be what? Done. You with me? See, I came not to destroy, but I came to do what? Fulfill the will of God. See? And then it said in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. You got two sets of people, one was with him and one against him. Same way today, you got two sets of people in the world, those who are right and those who are wrong. Am I right? those who are saved and those who are lost, those who know and those who don't know. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And some people say that was John. Is the reason why John was the only apostle that did not die a martyr's death. All the rest of the apostles died a martyr's death. Either they was hung upside down, crucified, whatever it may be. But he's the only one that died a natural death. But you know, in Revelation, he was on the island of Patmos for the testimony of the Lord. And Josephus tells us that even on that he had been so disfigured. They took him and took him in some hot tar, and people didn't know who he was. But he did die, old man. Of all the apostles, he was the only one that did not die a martyr's death. And some say, well, it was maybe because he took care of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Go ahead, Sheldon. Oh, yeah. Right. That's it. Well, the Catholic Church, in relationship to the mother of Jesus, their whole conception of Mary was wrong. And the reason why I say that, because they believe in the Immaculate Conception, that is how Jesus came, that because of what she did in bringing Jesus into this world, it's just a fulfillment of prophecy. That's the way Jesus had to come. Because he was going to be the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. You understand what I'm saying? But, if you look at the Catholic Church and look at all they believe in the relationship to praying to Mary, the rosary, that's the reason why a lot of these young boys a long time ago used to wear rosaries around their neck. And I walked up to one day, and he had one around his neck. I said, you know what that is? He said, nope. I said, why you got it around your neck? He said, because everybody else wearing it. See, but they just believe that Mary was a special one that they do pray to. But not only do they pray to Mary, but they pray to everybody else too. See, who had been canonized to be a saint. That is, to be a saint, two things had to happen. You had to do a miracle. And then number two, they go back and take a part of your bone to make it a relic, to make some significance in relationship to why you can be canonized to be that, which is dumb, because that word sanctified means that we've been set apart. And we all are saints, amen? We're all saints. So from that a lot of people say, well, behold my mother, well, he has some religious significance. But the only thing that he's doing is for his mother, because that's his mother. Then number two, you got to understand how that mother must have felt to see your son on that cross. See, to die. See, the way Jesus died. See, you can read. Go back and Google sometime Josephus. And then once you... let me have long. We'll get him out of the church. But anyway, kill that road. Kill that thing. But anyway, where I'm at, where I was saying. Okay, go back and Google Josephus and read Josephus. Because see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John they give an account, good account of it. But when you go back and read the actual account, because Josephus was back there, and read what they did to Jesus, the crucifixion was the worst death you could have. It was an awful death. And you got to imagine that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all his disciples were there that saw what was going from the beginning to the end. Now, you got different accounts. And Matthew, Mark, they give different accounts of the crucifixion than what John would give. But Jesus died an awful death. You understand what I'm saying? And the point that I'm making, you got to understand how Jesus must have felt to see his mother down there, to see me going through this, even though it was his cross. Even though he had to do it, he still showed some empathy for his mother. Then my thought is, if you still got a mother, you need to thank God you got one. Amen. Amen. I mean, every day. See, because if you got one, see, you don't know how long she going to be here, how long he going to be here if you got a father. And the reason why I'm saying is because there ain't nothing like a mother. Amen. That's why you see them football players, they don't never say, hey, dad. They always say, hey, mama. See, when the cameras hit them, hey, mama. See, it's just something about that mother. So what I'm saying is, it's just the empathy and the compassion that he had for his mother. Not like the church who had, they have built up Mary. They say, hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. That's the Hail Mary that they play with, the 10 Hail Marys. One, glory be to the Father. And I forgot whatever it goes with the roses. 50 glory be, I mean, 5 glory be, 50 Hail Marys, well, maybe. But that's what they do. And I think about my poor daddy, when my mama died, and the night before they had the funeral, they did the rosary. And boy, poor thing. If I thought about it now, why did we put him through that? Because it was all useless. By the time they got to the 32nd Hail Mary, he was ready to go home. Because they don't have no significance. But that's a good point. But Romans 15:4, what sort of things are written for time? Wherefore I what? Learning. And that is, Ephesians 6 says, honor your father and your mother. Am I right? And I think this is a classic example, because sometimes we get too busy to even what call out mama, amen. If you got one, amen. Am I right? See, honor your mother, behold your mother. Same thing is to respect your mother. Young people, if y'all not in here, but respect your mama because you ain't got but one. Am I right? See, if your mama out of town, that's no excuse. You got free phone nowadays, amen? And you ain't got to pay long distance. So behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And I really believe that was John. And after this, Jesus knowing, I'm not that word knowing, that all things were now accomplished. See, he knew, based on the will of God, all things were accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said I thirst. Now go back and write 17 then. The reason why I'm saying that, brethren, see, all scripture had to be fulfilled, and Jesus knew that. Because, see, if all scripture wasn't been fulfilled, brethren, he couldn't be the king of the Jews, to say, I am the king of the Jews. We could even have the church. Did you not know that? See, all the I's had to be dotted, all the T's had to be crossed. And that's the reason why Jesus knew that everything that we're saying is fulfilling the scripture. See, all what we're saying. See, our thirst. And now, there was set a vessel full of vinegar. See, all this is fulfilling the scripture. See, all this is fulfilling, that's in the 17. Well, see, if you study the Bible, if you don't know the 5:12, 5:17, don't know the significance of it, well, how is this going to have some spiritual implication for you? Amen? Do you think the Holy Spirit just wrote this just to be writing it? Every one of this is fulfilling the scripture. See, that's the reason why, this is what I'm saying, brother. I know where we are is right. I know the church is right. But everything that we reading here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is fulfillment of the 39. Amen. Now you tell me what church, denomination of church, that have the credentials other than the Church of Christ. And with that being said, and for you know that, why you want to abuse the church? Why do you want to add to and take away? Why don't you want to do things? Even better, I tell people, why do you want to jeopardize your soul by being a part of something that's in violation of Scripture? Amen? Y'all with me? Because it don't make sense. But what we read now about the clothing about our thirst. Everything that you're reading in relationship to Jesus being crucified lead up to one thing, for him to be the Lamb of God. Take away our sins. That's the reason why he said, I know all things that are happening is accomplished, but it's accomplished based on what? The will of God. Amen. So what you're saying in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can go back and trace it back to what? The Old Testament. Am I right? See, that's fulfillment of Scripture. That's where the Holy Spirit is right. Everyone, why James 1:25, you call it the perfect law of liberty. Amen. Amen. Now you tell me what church has that other than the Church of Christ. That's the reason why he said, I am the King of the Jews. Amen. Because see, everybody can't say that. It's like the Pope. See, if the Pope was infallible like he said, well, why do he die? You remember Peter when he was preaching on the day of Pentecost? What did he say about David? He said, David is dead and in his tomb. Amen. Y'all keep hopping about David. Where David at? He dead. But this Jesus who we serve, he's alive. Amen. What about in heavenly places, amen, in spiritual heavenly places where he reigned to be the King of Kings. Amen. And that's the church. Go ahead, my brother. Ready? Okay. Great question. Well, number one, Church of Christ is universal and local. Let me look at it that way. Number one, universal is only one church. Amen. He said, upon the rock I would build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be a what? So there's only one church. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says there's one body, but many what? So there's one body, which is the Church of Christ, but makes up many members. Right? Now, that's a universal. It's everywhere. Amen. See, the Bible says in Matthew 16, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. See, a lot of people say, well, Alexander Campbell started the Church of Christ. No, he did not. See, the Bible says, and the gates of hell shall not be what? So the Church of Christ has always been here from the time it was established. It's always been a remnant there in a universal sense. Right? So what I'm saying, you see it that way. Now, you see the church in a local way. Like locations, like, for example, when you read in the 21 books, you had the church of Rome, right? You had the church of Ephesus, right? You had the church of Philippi, right? You had the church of Thessalonica, right? They all were different churches. You had the seven churches of Asia Minor, the book of Revelation, right? But see, they were all different churches that made up the big church. Like a man asking me today, he said, who y'all overseer is? I said, Jesus. He said, well, I know it's Jesus, but y'all don't have no earthly overseer. And this was a preacher. The preacher of the congregation proper, 300 people of an AME Zion church. And then as I explained to him, he looked at me and said, well, I think y'all better off. I said, I know we're better off because that's truth. He said, I want to talk to you more about that. I said, okay. So I'm going to call him. And we're going to sit down. So what I'm saying is, see, even in Chicago, when you were there, the Churches of Christ is there. But you just never knew. Okay, so you see it in two local senses. Now, to answer your question, yeah, there are TV preachers, or there are congregations that have TV shows who sponsor them as a part of the work of the church. See, Ephesians 4:12 said the work of the church is threefold. Number one, save soul, right? Number two, benevolence for the saints, right? And number three, to edify the body. Amen. Now, if this congregation here decided that we wanted to have a TV program, right, well, this congregation had to support it out of the funds of this congregation, which means that we can't use prayer clause, which means that we can't beg money from solicitors, see, or we can't do nothing like that. See, it had to be funded by the local congregation. See, in order to spread the gospel. Now, there are TV shows that come on Sunday morning. You understand what I'm saying? Which I have problem with some of them, because when you read at the end, they have trails, and they said this program is sponsored by these local congregations, which I don't think you can do. They may have 10 or 12 different congregations that send money to these particular church, and I don't think you can do that. I think that the local church, it has to be a work of the church. See? You see what I mean? In order to support that work. You with me? See? And that's the reason why you have to be careful. See? Now they may say, well, at least we're doing good. At least we're preaching the gospel. Well, how can you do good when it violates the word of God? You understand? Because, see, you got to keep it in its context. Right? See, every local church is autonomous. That's governed by its own elderships and deacons and evangelists and members and teachers that make up the church. Right? Right? See, and that's the work of the church. See, now, what have happened was, these little bit of small churches say, well, we ain't got no money to do a TV show. Well, I ain't got no money to buy me no lingo, so I'm going to leave it alone. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, I'm not going to ask John and you to make my car note. Amen. Because John's like, I got my own car note to pay. You with me? So if you can't afford to do it, leave it alone. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm just trying to break it down to you. And the reason why you're going to see that, because, see, turn the TV on Sunday morning, and they got these shows on, and they'll run the trails. They'll say, this program is sponsored by this congregation, this congregation, this congregation. Now, some of you may look at me and say, that's negative. No, that's truth. Because, see, it got to be governed by the local congregation. See, that's the problem we had with the Crusade for Christ. See, the Crusade for Christ, they set up an entity within the church, which you can't do. See, what they did, they had churches all over the United States support this thing. Now, I ain't got nothing against a crusade for Christ, if it's done right. Amen. I think we need to come together and be one. Amen. To preach the gospel. They do it biblically. Amen. Because if you do it wrong, you violate Scripture. Amen. Kind of like in Romans 10, zeal but not according to what? See, they got the zeal to do it but not according to what? See, but still, they say it's good work. It can't be a good work when it violates the word of God. So what I'm saying is you got to see it in a universal way and a local way. Amen. And every congregation governs its own self with ordaining the elders. See, what's Titus 1:5? In every city. See. Whereby hopefully and prayerfully one day this congregation will have elders. Amen. I'm praying for something, don't you? Deacons, amen. Amen. But we got to make sure they fit the qualifications. See? We don't want to make you elder because you're a good lawyer. See? Or you're a good doctor. You'll make a whole heap of money. Because you don't fit the qualifications. Okay? And that's your question. Okay? But the Church of Christ has always been here around the AD 30, what, 3? And he said the gates of hell should not prevail. And that is that. Okay, let me ask you a question. If the Church of Christ stopped, then somebody picked it up 400 years later, well, what happened to it? It's like Reformation and Restoration. See, they say the Restoration movement. Right? You don't have to restore something that's already there. Ain't never left. Right? You can't reform. Martin Luther tried to reform it, didn't he? See, he tried to reform him when he nailed the thesis on the door. Started the Lutheran Church. Right? They say Alexander County was a restoration. Well, how are you going to restore something ain't never left? The Church of Christ always been here. Amen? It might not have been as big, but the Church of Christ ain't going to go nowhere, because how going to go somewhere when Jesus come back and get it? Well, I spotted what I would. See? And then another thing about the church, see, we look at a church, we look at the success of the church based on the number of people it has. You can be a successful church with 5 people. Amen. As long as you stand on the word, amen. Amen. See, one thing about teaching, universal to all Christians. No matter if you're a Christian 10 years old and you have obeyed the gospel, well, the same words for you as for me. Right? Right? See, that's the danger of when you add to God's word. Go back and look up. Go home and Google sometimes Sunday school. Just type in the word Sunday school and Google it, and you see how it started. The reason I said, when you go back and look at the church, think about it now, in 1 Corinthians 11, amen, the church only assembled on the Lord's Day when the whole church came together, right, in one place to do the 5 hours of worship. That's all they did. Amen. For Christians. And Christians only. Now, when the Sunday School Society came around in the 1700s, 1800s, and people start having Sunday School Society, that's what it's called, Sunday School Society. Then we start having Sunday School Society. See? And then when you start doing that, and then you begin to diversify, and you begin to add things, and you pull from God's word. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Then what you begin to do, you begin to dilute truth, because you begin to add programs and projects to support your organization. Now, y'all can call me narrow-minded, but you got to see it. Right? You with me? That's why Pilate didn't understand. I'm telling you, man, anytime you lose truth, or you water it down, or you diminish it just a little bit, you ain't got nothing. I'm telling you, man, you don't have nothing. And I'm not saying, listen to me, I'm not saying we perfect, because we all have sin, amen. We're not where we need to be, amen. But at least we got the proper S in order to get the big S, in order to have the big, big S with the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? That is the proper spirit, the attitude to receive and grasp the word, amen, so that our spirit can be right to receive the Holy Spirit, which is the word. And once you have that desire, amen, to want to do God's will, to understand God's purpose, everything going to be all right. Because you're going to forget about everything else. See, when you see brothering, bickering, and trying to decide what's right when it comes to the word, when you can't open your book and read, R-E-A-D. Just read what it says. Right? You're going to have a problem. And the reason I'm saying that, because see, when you see it, and then you don't like it, well, do you think that makes it wrong? Because you don't like it? Right? Am I right? Over there in Kings, right? Am I right? Why did they want Kings? Because there was others around them that had them. See, they weren't satisfied with what they had. Wasn't working right, but working pretty good. You understand what I'm saying? See, yeah, because they messed it up because, see, they wanted something that God, they weren't satisfied for what they had. And that's the point that I'm saying, brother. See, you got to take God's word, and you got to take it just the way it is. See, and it's scaring me, brother. I'm looking and seeing it, man. I'm telling you, I'm seeing it every day, man. Here in Birmingham, the changes happening, man. Preachers, man, who are sound preachers, man, they're saying, well, we need to do this. We need to do this. We got to do this here. All you got to do is stay in the word. Just stay in the word. Amen? Because you know you stay there, you're going to be right. Am I right? So we can keep, like you said, the autonomy of the church. Amen. So that we all can be one. A part of that big church of 1 Corinthians 12, where there's one body, but there's many members. You with me? Because, see, when you lose it, you lose everything. And that's the reason why. See, everything that we read here is fulfilling the scripture. See, it just didn't happen stat. See, but you go back and you begin to look at these things. Then you go back and understand what the Bible says. And then you see in relationship to purpose, you'll see it's an add-on. It's like the Lord's Supper. Guess what, y'all? If everybody did the Lord's Supper right, see, there wouldn't be the argument by Sunday evening. Right? Read 1 Corinthians 11. You got an example, right? So you just read it. So if everybody understood it, and there was no alternative, the problem was when people added two, because that give you a choice. If I miss one, I can catch the other. There's a reason why you miss one, right? You better look at that reason, right? That's all I'm going to say. I ain't perfect. Listen to me, brother. I ain't perfect. Amen. I've been checking my seal all week. Y'all been looking at y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all looking funny. Y'all, well, okay. Because I don't want nobody to break my seal. Amen. And the world will break it. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll pick back up next week. Good seeing all y'all today. Amen. Amen.